Welcome back to the Business Leaders of America podcast, where business leaders come to share their advice and journeys to success with existing and emerging leaders of America. Join us as we delve into the minds of these accomplished individuals, uncovering the strategies and insights that have propelled them to the top. Whether you're an established leader or an emerging force in the business world, this podcast is your go-to source for the knowledge and inspiration needed to navigate the dynamic landscape of American business. Now, here's your host, Dylan Bloyd.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Business Leaders of America podcast. Today, we're honored to have Denise Panza, senior mortgage banker at Total Mortgage Services with over 27 years of experience in the industry. Denise's extensive experience spans purchases, refinances, investment properties, and commercial financing, holding licenses in multiple states. Renowned for her hardworking and intelligent approach, Denise prioritizes her clients' best interests, earning her the trust and admiration of many. In our conversation, Denise will discuss challenges in building trust in a competitive market, effective time management with multiple clients, and the impact of multi-state licensing on her role. A titan in mortgage banking, Denise sets herself apart with exceptional marketing. Whether you're in the mortgage industry or looking to begin a career in the mortgage industry, Denise's expertise is sure to enlighten. Welcome to the show, Denise.
Thank you, Dylan. I appreciate the invite.
Yes, absolutely. All right. So if you could please give us a brief intro on yourself and how you got to where you are today.
Okay. So I'm from New York, originally from Brooklyn, and then moved upstate. And then I went to college in Boston, wanted to be a private investigator, PI Panza. Mm-hmm. There was this one particular criminal justice class that I just could not pass. So Northeastern, for some that know, it's a five-year school. And I just thought if I keep up with this particular major, I might be here for like 7 years. So I switched gears. I went into teaching, got my teaching degree, kindergarten through sixth grade. Graduated, moved back to Brooklyn because I wanted to teach in the inner city. That was like my thing. Mm-hmm. And could not get a teaching job, major teaching freeze, went back to Boston and thought, okay, well, I just gave Northeastern 5 years of my life. They better hook me up and get me a teaching job. That was not happening. So I ended up actually getting pregnant. And I was not married. I had a little boy. And then 2 months later, I decided that I needed my mom, right, to help out because mm-hmm. I became a single mom with a two-month-old. I went back to New York and, again, teaching freeze and could not get a job. I needed something immediately. So I looked in the paper and there was this mortgage post-closing position, like for $9 an hour. Now, I had been familiar with the mortgage business because my father's in it. He okay. owned a mortgage company in Long Island. So I took the job and here I am, you know, 28 years later. I haven't left the business. I haven't taught a day in my life. And but I'm happy. I'm a happy camper. I love what I do.
Yeah, that is great. Great story. I love that you said you went back to have your mom assist. You know, we actually did the exact same thing. You know, five kids later, we ended up back to our small little town because of the assistance. You know, it's been a huge, huge help and allows us to still do what we need to do to, you know, survive.
It's true. It's been, yeah. I can't wait for my son to have babies and I'll be back in Brooklyn before you know it again.
Right, yeah. Yeah, exactly. So in a competitive industry, building and maintaining trust is crucial, right? So what challenges do you face in establishing trust with clients and how do you differentiate yourself in a competitive market?
So I love what I do. And I tell people that I have three children. I have my son, Philip, who's 29, my daughter, Gigi, who is 19. And then I have my mortgage career, who's 28. Like I really do love my job. And I think my sincerity and, you know, comes out. So it's kind of like a no brainer, like you get what you get with me. And because I'm so passionate and love what I do, that I think that it's easy to trust me. I hope that individuals trust me, right? And mm-hmm. and people want to work with people that they like, they know, and they trust. And I hope that I exude that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure you deal with all types of people, all walks of life when you're out there, right?
Yeah, you do. This business keeps me on my toes. I mean, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And sometimes, you know, I can't wait for that glass of Cabernet at 5 o'clock because every story is so different and you mm-hmm. just can't even make this stuff up. What, you know, comes at you.
Right. Yeah. Glass of Cabernet just to either celebrate or to get you through the rest of the night.
A little of both, Dylan.
Right. Yeah. For sure. So time effectiveness is essential in obviously many aspects of business. Sometimes when you take too long to make a decision to complete processes, you can actually lose clients, right? So how do you manage your time effectively, especially when dealing with multiple clients and applications simultaneously?
I think that I have mastered multitasking. It's just weird. People are like, you're weird. I just can do that, right? So not everyone can do it. I also, all fairness, I became an empty nester. So I moved to Florida. So I do have a lot of, I've had not had a lot of free time, but I especially do now because, I work out of my home and my day I commit to, to my business. So I'm able to stretch myself out because I don't have a full plate. I don't have little kids. I don't have a spouse, you know what I mean? So it's I just get to focus on me and my career for the most part. Now, back in the day, I'm just going to go back to the whole multitasking. Like that's my thing. And the busier I am, the happier I am.
For me, I don't know. I feel like I got to do one thing at a time. You know, it's difficult to it takes a while to get to that point to be able to, manage multiple things at once, so I'm sure that you have to juggle many things at once. So
Yes.
that's great. So you're licensed in multiple states. So how does being licensed in various states impact your approach to serving clients? And what challenges or advantages does that bring to your role?
So I'm in 15 states now, and I guess it definitely gives me a larger client population because I can service people, and obviously more than just the state that I reside in. But I think also what's really cool about it is when I have a client and say they're a New Yorker, I'm giving them better service because everyone has, or not everyone does, but some people like, oh, well, I live in New York, Denise helped me, but now I can buy my house down south with her. Or my grandmother lives in Texas and she needs to refinance or buy. So I can be that go-to for my clients, which I think puts me, in a gives me an advantage over maybe the next individual because they can only take care of one particular state. So it's for the ability to, because I'm on social media and I just obviously my social media just doesn't go to New Yorkers or just Floridians, but it goes to, a whole bunch of people. So for that piece, and then for the piece that I can just give my current clients just more service.
Does that require you to travel a lot? Do you have to go many
No, I
places,
do
or is
not
it
travel at all. No.
everything's remote?
Correct.
Wow. Oh, that's great. Yeah. Does it require a lot of like continuous education for different states and different things that are occurring in those states? Maybe laws and
Every
regulations?
state is different. Every year I have to do like your standard 8 year 8 hours of continuing ed, and then for each state it's different. Virginia might be, 1 hour, New York might be three, New Jersey might be two, and it at this point with my 15 states, I'm at 20 hours.
Jeez. Yeah,
That's
that's. Yeah, that is, I mean, gotta be
so
tough to
fun.
follow up on. Yeah. Hopefully there's not too many changes, throughout the years, but I mean, it's good that you're staying up on them because I mean, I guess if you stop for a little while and then went back to it, it'd be a little more difficult, but the fact that you're staying up on it every year is
Correct.
great, right?
Correct.
So yeah, you mentioned social media. You're obviously very good at marketing. You've grown a big following on social media, specifically LinkedIn, at least that I've seen. How do you believe effective marketing contributes to standing out in a crowded market and attracting potential clients?
Well, you do have to be consistent. I'm sure everyone says that's on social media. Consistency, right? You have to, I mean, I should probably post more than I do, but I want to be, top of mind. I just want to post, whether it's work related, or it's a little, throw in a little bit of my personal life, just, fun stuff, because I would just want to be, when someone thinks mortgage or thinks buying a house, I just want them to think of me. So you just have to be on the forefront. You have to just put yourself out there, which is sometimes a little uncomfortable, but that's how I feel that I'm able to be successful with social media is just by posting, posting, posting.
Yeah, a few people have said that, they don't see many people doing it like you're doing it, and obviously your following is speaks for itself. But yeah, I mean, you do often speak of the importance of confidence. So in the realm of mortgage banking, how does having confidence impact your interactions with the clients, and why is it a key element in building successful relationships?
So I think that just having years in the business, I kind of know my SHIT. So like
You're
that
right.
helps me a lot. And I know that I have really awesome products and programs, and I know that I'm going to do the right thing for somebody and put them in the program that, suits them the best. And that gives me confidence. I mean, I just, you know, I can talk mortgages all day long, you know, to the point where some people might find it a little annoying. But I just, and again, because I love what I do, I feel like I'm really knowledgeable of what I do after doing it for 28 years. But if I don't have the answer, you best believe I'm going to get it. You know, give me 5-10 minutes and I'm going to get the answer.
Right. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, in your videos, it doesn't feel like it's only about mortgage banking. You know, it's about really everything, tips and tricks of being just a better leader or better, you know, more confident in what you're doing. And so I think that's probably why a lot of people relate to it. You know, I've enjoyed following it for sure.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. You do have to switch it up. I just can't talk about mortgages because I would probably shut me off a long time ago.
Right. For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how do you prioritize your own professional development, you know, especially as a leader? What role does your continuous learning play in your effectiveness as a senior mortgage banker?
So I love watching webinars weekly. I want to, you know, I make it a point to just do a webinar, whether it's on reverse mortgages or VA loans, just because even though I've been doing them for so long, doesn't mean I'm, you know, things change every single day. And also you forget because there are so many programs out there and there's different states that have different programs as well, which is that in itself is a whole another part-time job. So I'm definitely all about continuous education and reading books. Every book I have, all my books, they're just about bettering yourself and becoming a better salesperson, a better person, because you know, I am a work in progress, my friend.
Right. No, it's good though. I mean, you don't want to just continue to do the same thing over and over again. And then
correct
time, then you end up finding yourself messing up because you don't have the right information or whatever it may be.
Right. I never want to get too complacent and think that I'm, you know, that I, yeah. So that's why it's like really important to me to just keep on learning.
Mm-hmm. When people are seeking your advice, I mean, you've been doing this for 28 years, you know, so when people seek your advice or people are coming to you with questions, do you advise continuous education as well?
For buyers?
Yeah. Or people that are in similar roles to yours?
Oh, yes. Oh my gosh. I think for everybody. Mm. Yeah, definitely. And the most of the people that I hang out with, we are all in that same boat. And, you know, my friends, I just feel like my sphere of friends, we all are about bettering ourselves, getting more knowledgeable, even within each other's businesses, whether it's my girlfriend who does credit repair or, you know, another individual who does, you know, financial planner. Like, I want to learn about their stuff. They want to learn about mine, attorneys. Like, I mean, it just makes the world go round better.
Right. Yeah. Do you guys recommend each other in different services? Like if you're,
Yes, we do.
Yeah. I interviewed a guy a while back who was in the engineering industry and he talked about how, and this is obviously much different than mortgages, of course, but he talked about how nice it would be if they could recommend different engineers because in the engineering field, for some reason that it's kind of frowned upon, you know, to give other people business. You want to take as much business as possible, you know? And so when it comes to, I guess my question in the mortgage industry, do you ever push someone off to another mortgages banker?
Yes, we do that. I think that's one of the best referrals that I think you can get. I'm very flattered when another loan officer from another company gives me a deal. And I, of course, will reciprocate it. If there's a particular, you know, program that I don't have in that state, and I know that the borrower will be better suited with that program, then, you know, and I'm 100% commission. So I only close a loan when the loan closes. Wow. But for me, I would sleep at night knowing that I referred them off to somebody else. Obviously, I don't get compensated on that, but that's okay because you know it's just not, you know, that's not the right thing to do, and it'll come back to you.
I was just gonna say, yeah, at some point it's gonna circle back to you anyways, right?
It does. I just did it recently, and I referred a couple to another loan officer for a South Carolina deal, and as a result, there I'm like, listen, I know I've been working with you, but he has this really cool product, take it, run. And they were so grateful and thankful. And the next thing I know, their 24-year-old son is like, oh, my mom and dad want me to use you to buy my house in New York. See, it just comes back to you. It's a good feeling.
Right. No, I'm sure. So how can listeners engage with you, your content, and even reach out to seek guidance on their specific loan needs?
Gosh, I would love that. So they can obviously follow me on LinkedIn, right? Denise Panza. They can follow me on Facebook. They can follow me on Instagram. They can call me. They can text me. They can email me. I think that's one thing about me that I am, I make myself available like 24/7, maybe too much. So my father, my kids are like, all right, you know, let it go, turn it off. But I can't, I'm just so, I appreciate people wanting to pick me, right? Because there's so many other people they could pick. So if someone's going to pick me, I'm, you know, I appreciate that. And I'm going to be there. I'm going to be, you know, available.
Yeah. I'll ensure those are in the, those links are in the show notes as well as the 15 states that you are licensed in.
Yes.
All right. So Denise, I do have one more question before we go. I do appreciate all your insight on everything that you've been sharing with us. So how do you remain resilient in the face of challenges? And what advice would you give to existing and emerging leaders on developing resilience in their professional journeys?
I guess for me, I'm a tough cookie. Maybe that has to do with, you know, being an Italian from Brooklyn or something. I don't know. But when I, you know, when I get like a punch in the face, like it just makes me want to like, I just makes me want to work harder. You know what I mean? It doesn't set me back. I just, you know, I know what it's like to, I don't want to say have nothing, but, you know, been kind of struggling. So I know I never want to be there again. So for me, struggles, they don't faze me. I just keep on pushing through it. And you're always going to get over it. It's a hurdle. You know, it's temporary. That's what I tell my kids. This is just a temporary, you cannot get depressed. You can't get sad. You have to just smile. That's it. Like, because nothing is going to stop me. No bumps.